that's written will be, number one, written by this committee, and number two, funded by it. And I think one of the reasons that we haven't had a discussion on the majority party's plans or legislature's plans for property tax relief is because there really are no specific plans at this point. There's some ideas,
okay,
but there aren't any concrete plans at this point. I wouldn't put them in the stage or the form of being plans.
Okay.
I guess my reaction is that this is probably the stage. If we pass these three bills to the floor and they're adopted on the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate, this probably sets the stage for that PTR debate that the nine of us will be heavily involved in. Representative Hostica?
Chairman, I recognize the connection with PTR, and I think that all along, all of us on this committee at least, I think, recognize the value of having as many options as we have possible in our hands when we enter into that discussion. I think the reason why I'm supporting this and the rest of this package is because with this package, when we begin that discussion, we'll have a variety of options and a little bit of breathing room. If we don't pass this, we're cutting off one of those options and just making it harder and harder for us to address that PTR issue as we go along.
And there's no question that the increment left after the adoption of these revenues will be the first increment for providing property tax relief, and that's exactly where the monies will go to property tax relief. Representative Trahan?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hoska spoke of the options, and certainly he's correct. It would give the committee more options, but the options we would be looking at that point would be how to spend the money or how to give the money away, rather than perhaps at this point where we should be looking at whether or not we should be raising it at all.
Okay, further discussion? Tilda, please call the roll on the motion to adopt the Badger 4 amendments to House Bill 2182.
Representatives Hugel?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Trahan?
No.
Pelori?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Hostica?
Aye.
Burroughs?
Aye.
True.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Chair moves House Bill. Not yet. Representative Trahan.
Chair, I would move to amend the bill to replace a two-year sunset on the, I guess, on the total bill, in effect, which would then put us back to a personal exemption situation after 1987.
Representative Trahan moves to apply the two-year sunset not just to the indexing provision, but to the entire bill, which would have the effect of returning from an $85 credit to a $1,000 personal exemption in 2 years. Discussion? You want to speak to your motion, Director?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that pretty well explains it. What you may remember in the last legislative session when we first adopted this quote, temporary tax increase, we did put a sunset on it. That's why we have the bill in front of us now. And I think that it's an issue that most certainly should be discussed in the next legislative session, and that's the reason for the motion.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Hostica.
Yeah, I'm going to oppose the motion basically because I think there are two reasons for sunsetting measures. One reason is to force a review during the interim and force the legislature to come to grips with whether or not it's good policy. And the other one, especially on revenue measures, is to try to tie the hands of a future legislature. And I think that the legislature has considered the $85 tax credit over the years. The governor has considered the $85 tax credit. And in both instances, we collectively decided that it was good policy. I think if it's good policy, we ought to just enact it and get on with it. The reason why we're backed away from insisting on the indexing part is because I believe it's worth having that in to force the discussion. But on the whole credit, I think the whole credit is good policy, and I'm willing to say that is good policy and wouldn't want it to have to go back and force another session of legislature to try to have to come to grips with that question.
Mr. Representative McCracken?
My understanding of the $85 tax credit is that for some it is a tax reduction, and for others, it may be a tax increase, depending on how much income you make. The lower the income you make, the more likely you are to receive a tax break. So I don't think it's appropriate to characterize the entire bill as a tax increase. It is a revenue increase, but it's an income tax restructuring that tends to benefit those in the lower income groups.
Representative Scott?
I like the tax credit because of the thing that Representative McCracken just mentioned, that it benefits the lower income people.
who need it the most. And I think that that's very fair and very equitable. But if we really wanted to be fair, we would make sure that we were not raising revenue. We would raise the credit to the point where it did not harm the general class of taxpayers. And so I think really that the thing we're talking about here is a tax increase. We're not talking about really how fair we're being. That's not the purpose of our discussion this morning.
Representative Clory?
Mr. Chairman, I as I have mentioned before, the longer that I have sat here this term, the more I'm convinced that a total reconnect to the federal code is becomes, at least for me, more increasingly attractive. And I have a real concern about this. I don't particularly think it is good policy, and I'm even more concerned about the idea having it become a permanent part of Oregon code at the same time that the federal, the people considering the federal revisions, including the speech I guess that's going to be given tomorrow night, may be moving to a $2,000 personal exemption. And if that's the case, the delta between our code and the federal will become so large that I will question whether we will ever get reconnected. And so I think what we're doing is taking what I consider to be not a particularly good policy and getting ourselves so locked into it that we will never extricate ourselves.
I think the delta you're talking about will be very obvious if they in fact adopt the tax simplification plan that they're speaking of out there. That may drive us to revising our system substantially too. So that's probably, personally, I believe that would be one very small element of a much larger picture. Let's see, where was I? We're done. Any further discussion on the motion to amend to provide the two-year sunset for all the provisions of the bill? If not, clerk, please call the roll on the motion.
Representative Trahan?
Aye.
Clory?
Aye.
Hanlon?
No.
Hostica?
No.
Hugo?
No.
McCracken?
No.
Schoon?
Aye.
Burroughs?
Aye.
Troop?
No. Motion's defeated. Chair moves House Bill 2182 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation as amended. Discussion? Tilda, please call the roll on the motion.
Representatives Clory?
No.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Hostica?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Trahan?
No.
Burroughs?
Aye.
Troop?
Aye. The motion is adopted. The next measure before us is House Bill 2183. We have two sets of amendments before us. The first set is Dash 5, which, just to make a long story short, provides a 6-4 split on the second increment, and the Dash 7 amendment, which provides a 6-3-1 split on the second increment. Chair moves the Dash 5 amendments first. Discussion on the Dash 5 amendments. Questions on the Dash 5 amendments. Is there an objection to Dash 5 amendments? Not so ordered. Chair moves the Dash 7 amendments. Senator Cease, excuse me. Senator Cease, would you please come forward and sit with Mr. Yates? I think the committee may have some questions regarding the 1 cent for the elderly and handicapped transportation fund. Chair has moved Day 7. Are there questions? Representative McCracken?
I was wondering if it might be wise to sunset the 1 cent that goes to special transportation. The sort of legislative assembly could have an idea how those dollars were used and how effective the programs were. And I wondered how Senator Cease might feel about that. That's another committee members.
Yes, let me see if I understand the effect of your suggestion first before we ask Senator Cease to respond. We do have a 6-4 split on that 10-cent increment, and with the Day 7 amendments, it would become a 6-4 but the four would split to 3-1.
Right.
And your suggestion would be that the one be sunsetted, not to be eliminated, but would revert back to local governments?
Yes, pending review by
review and require future enactment to retain that 1 cent in transportation handicap.
Correct.
Senior fund. Jane?
Mr. Chair, I shudder to think the schools that would cause with the groups that have worked so hard statewide for that. Couldn't see much more reason for doing that than for sunsetting the other part. And having the other local governments report back, and would ask your support for continuing it. Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what I understood. Also, that Representative Schoon had a question. And
let's talk about
Hugo had a question.
Walk us through, if you would, the formation of this transportation fund and why. In your work on the original bill, 2276, I think was the number, in your work with our staff, why the bill is written in the form that it's currently written in, why the fund is constructed the way it's constructed, why the money will be distributed to the transit or transportation districts or to the counties for those areas that don't have those kinds of districts, and walk us through the mechanism of that consent, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have to realize that I just saw the dash 7 amendments. They look real good to me. The reason for the structure of the amendments is that in our work with all of the different groups who were involved with the AAAs, the area agencies on aging, with the handicap community, with all the people who were involved, we sat in, I think we finally tied it down in a meeting just up the hall in the legislative council room there in the library, and discussed it and agreed that that was the easiest way to do it for a number of reasons. And also I might mention that these amendments tie it down. I understand the concern has been for a county where there is a part of the county in the transit district and there is a part of the county outside of that transit district. These amendments tie it down so that the part outside of the district would receive its share according to its appropriate population, according to its population to all the other counties. So there will be a proportionate share for those people on the same basis as the other residents of the state. The reason, and I think that these amendments are very clear, that they do that very carefully so that a transit district would have to make arrangements that money would be used for those populations that are in the portion of a county that's outside of the boundaries of the transit district. They're very clear on that. Mr. Barkowski, I think, wrote that part of it, and I did have him here earlier, but I suspect he went to lunch at this point in time. The other reason that I felt comfortable with doing that was that we wanted to avoid asking, each entity that's going to be distributing funds is going to have an advisory committee. And so you have, for example, I have to use my own area because that's the one I've worked with. You have, for example, I think there's somebody sitting in the room that can even speak to that. Washington County has an advisory committee on senior transportation. There also are organizations of people who are in the handicapped community. There also are people who are providing the transportation. They're all the same people. And so if you were to set up a system where you had a transit district and then a piece of the county, it would seem to me you'd have to set up a special advisory committee that would review all the distribution in each case. Well, what you'd be doing would be making the gentleman here from Washington County double time it to talk about distribution of funds that he could do on an advisory committee in the one instance. And that was the other thing that I was trying to do with that particular kind of a distribution in the transit district. And so those were the concerns that we had as we all sat around the table and negotiated it out to this final agreed upon solution.
What's your name, Scott?
Gene, I'm not sure you can answer this, but I've got a little concern without having done any work on it at all, that in Polk County we have a senior transportation district already voted for and approved. They don't have any money, but they've got a board and the authority to provide transportation to seniors with whatever resources they can gather. And then in the West Salem part of Polk County, there's the Salem Area Transit District. Now, as I understand it, the Salem Area Transit District is the one that would get the money. And as far as I know, they do not, although I could be wrong about this, do not provide senior services, particularly in the Polk County, whereas the Polk County Senior Transportation District has the obligation of providing countywide services. And furthermore, the board is made up of people who are very interested in that, because that's the only thing they do. In Salem, the transit board is made up of various people that are interested in their community and aspiring politicians and various other people, all of whom are very good, but it would seem that in Polk County, at least, the appropriate unit to take care of this would be the people who are formed to provide the service. And so I guess I'm a little concerned about Salem getting the money for all of Polk County when we've already got an organization, a board that was formed to provide the service.
I can understand that. They, I'm sure, well, the amendments that are drafted in the -7 part, have you seen those?
We talked about them this morning.
Would give the lion's share of, if that's how the population is in that area, to the Polk County part of it, and there would have to be a special advisory committee for the expenditures of that.
Gene, number one, the transit district or transportation district would not necessarily be the ones to provide the transportation unless they're already providing it now. They're simply a pass-through entity to get the money to those private nonprofits or whatever kind of organizations are providing transportation just for elderly and seniors.
And
so I meant. So it would not be an additional revenue source for the Salem Transit District because they don't provide handicapped and senior transportation. Is that right?
That is correct.
And
it can only be spent for that. It's earmarked. It says it can only be spent for that particular kind of service.
And there's also a provision in the bill that does not allow an entity like the Salem Transit District to take all that money and create a new service and they try to do the transportation?
Well, there's nothing to prevent someone from creating new service, but it's very clear in the earmarking that it's also to maintain and improve existing service. And so I just don't see how that could be, and I have someone coming to the rescue here. This is under the formula that there is currently.
They would
already receive, as a transportation district, a share of the money anyhow.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know that they'll get a share of the money, but the first thing I can imagine, I imagine that the first thing that the Salem Area Transit District is going to do is form a senior citizens transportation service.
Mr. Chair, as you pointed out, they would not. I see what you think. They couldn't provide that to the population that the money's there for. There's no way that the Salem Transit District could take the money and spend it in Salem for the people that are population outside of it.
Well, that's not my.
Jim?
I wasn't referring to the people that are outside of Salem. I'm talking about the people that are in the West Salem area. In Polk County.
Inside of the transit district.
Yes, which is not offering seniors transportation now, but the senior transportation district is.
There are various ways to arrange that, but there could be service provided by contract between the two or however, form some service for those people, because there would be a share, according to the
that population that's inside there now not getting it. As I understand the bill, that was what our intent was. But there's a, Mr. Chair, there's a list of the various things that you can use it for. Nobody will be able to take away from the population that's currently served by the transportation district and give to the population that's not being served in the transit district. As I understand the way the bill's written and the way Mr. Rakowski's amendments tie it down very carefully. But there could be the money that would be under the share of the population that's available inside the transit district could then be used by the transit district to serve the people inside of it. And it seems to me that they have, under intergovernmental contracting, an ability to do it themselves, contract it with that transportation district, or however they need to do it. And we did talk about being more restrictive when we were talking about writing the bill, and there are so many different kinds of arrangements that people have in the state that we didn't want to forbid, you know, only this person doing it and not contracting it. Am I helping, Mr. Chairman?
That doesn't solve my problem. We've already got a county-wide transportation district specifically organized to provide transportation for seniors, and
Jim, would you take a...
I guess what I was going to clarify was, first of all, the way the distribution formula works in the bill.
I'm sorry.
Okay. The money is divided up by county. So in other words, so much is allocated to each county. So say Polk County or Marion County, so much is allocated to Polk County on the basis of population. Then within the county, if there is a transit district in that county, it goes to the transit district. And then, in proportion to population, that money is earmarked for areas both inside and outside the district. So, for example, in Polk County, that area that's inside the Salem Area Mass Transit District, is that whatever population is there, that proportion is allocated to this to serve the seniors and handicapped and elderly in that area. And for that part outside the transit district, that proportion is allocated to serve the people in that area. Now, I'm not that familiar with how Polk County works. I know a little bit more about Marion County. But in Marion County, and I believe this is true of any transit district, that there are federal mandates that they have to serve this population. They have to meet certain requirements. And the Salem Area Mass Transit District in Marion County, by contract, provides that service with an agency that serves both inside and outside the district. In other words, the agency gets money from Salem Area Mass Transit and serves the population within the transit district. And that same agency, that same group of people, serves outside the district, the rural areas, with different money. In other words, they don't get it from the Mass Transit District. They get it from federal sources or whatever other sources they have. Now, I don't know how that would work in Polk County, but it seems to me that if they are working it the same way, what they would do would be to say that, all right, this agency serves the elderly and handicapped in Polk County. Some of their money comes from us under federal mandates, of which they could use some of this money to do that within the transit district. And then the rest of the money earmarked for out-of-county or out-of-district services, they would then also give that money to the same people who would then provide the service outside the district. And that was the way I understand it, in the discussions they had and how they constructed it, they were basing it on the understanding that in many cases, or like Marion County, that I'm more familiar with, that in fact, even though the same agency is providing the service inside and outside the district. Their sources of funding are different now, but because it's the same agency, that in fact, when you gave money to Salem Area Mass Transit, that money, both inside and outside the district, flows through to the same agency anyway, and it becomes a sort of division on their books. They have to divide this money to the rural area, and this money to the urban area, but it's still in the same agency, and that same agency is still providing the service throughout Marion County. But that's the way I understand it, and I don't know if that is,
Mr. Chair. That's correct. I guess the other thing that's a significant key to the way we want this to work is the involvement of people on the committee that advises how the money is to be spent, and would anticipate that you simply have to involve people as from the Polk County Transportation District, as from the Washington County Elderly Transportation Committee that knows where the needs are inside and outside of any transit district boundaries. Also, you're going to have the AAAs represented because they are aware, and you know, the handicap groups as well.
Representative Klein?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Your
questions have long been answered.
Yeah.
Representative Schoen, anything further? Members of the committee further?
Well,
John?
Yeah, I hate to ask Jane this, but why didn't we do this through the gas tax, since it involves transportation instead of the city tax? I feel much better.
Because it would, I think it might take a constitutional amendment to do anything transit related to the gas tax, although I don't have any objection to that, but we're facing a situation where the feds have been saying this would be freed up as a source for local programs and also cutting some of the same programs, and so this seemed very logical.
You were quick on your feet, Senator.
That's absolutely right. It would clearly would require a constitutional amendment to use gas tax, and this one's here for the plumbing.
So to speak.
Further questions? The motion before us is the adoption of the Dash 7 amendments. Any further questions or discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hugo?
The 7 amendments do not conflict with the 5 amendments?
Well, actually, I think this 7 incorporates all the 5.
Okay. What I wanted to do is to have us take the 6-4 split first and have us take the 3-1 of the 4 second, so that would be a separate vote.
Yeah, I really think it does replace them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hostica?
That was my question.
Okay. Further discussion? Further questions? Clerk, please call the roll on the motion.
Representative Hammond?
Aye.
Hostica?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Schoen?
Aye.
Trahern?
No.
Cloy?
No.
Burroughs?
Aye.
Troop?
Aye. Motion is adopted. The chair moves House Bill 2183 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hugo?
Could we repeat the chair's intention regarding another vehicle for Wednesday dealing with other tobacco products?
Yes, we will use House Bill 2276, which is the measure that initially brought the senior and handicapped transportation fund to us. We will use that vehicle on Wednesday.
On Wednesday?
Did we decide to put it off longer than that?
What did
we decide?
Friday.
To allow Business and Consumer Affairs to deliberate further on the issue. Use that as a vehicle to consider whether or not to come up with a method of taxing, non-cigarette?
Smokeless tobacco.
Smokeless tobacco. So cigars are taxed now?
And pipe tobacco.
All right, tobacco products other than cigarettes. 2276 may not be needed as a vehicle. We may actually have Representative Cease's measure out of Business and Consumer Affairs, but we'll have that as a vehicle for discussion of the issue on Friday.
I wonder, Mr. Chairman.
Saint Hugo?
If Senator Cease has any problem with us considering Representative Cease's bill.
She better not, or we can have some domestic problems on Memorial Day. Further questions or discussion? Tilda, please call the roll in motion.
Representatives Hostica?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Schoen?
Aye.
Trahern?
No.
Cloy?
Aye.
Hammond?
Aye.
Burroughs?
Aye.
Troop?
Aye. Motion is adopted. I would ask that Representative Burroughs carry House Bill 2011, Representative Hostica carry House Bill 2182, and Troop carry House Bill 2183.
Do I have to explain all of this?
I have this one. You have 85 credit.
Oh,
is that all right?
Yeah, fine. Sure.
Representative Kuzo?
What is the proposed intention regarding evening hearing?
We will not have an evening hearing tomorrow night. Again, we're on schedule. We will not need an evening meeting. Anything else to come before the committee? If not, we're adjourned until 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. 8 o'clock.